WATV Radio seeks to inform and engage the Bride of Christ to stand up and take your place in the army and the kingdom. We recognize our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities and the powers of the air. We are a ministry of prayer, and we highlight what God is doing through other ministries and ministers across the globe. We provide a platform for ministers and a place for the bride to come together and rally around each other, hold up each other's arms, and pray for one another. WATV Radio celebrates the various missions that God has called each one of us to in this army, so we desire to promote and enhance the bride as a whole. Go Bride! Our soon coming King awaits. This is a WATB disclaimer. The views and opinions expressed in this show do not necessarily reflect the views of We Are the Bride Ministries, We Are the Bride Radio, or We Are the Bride Television. Thank you. Hello, Bride. Are you a writer? Or do you have a story to tell and maybe you need a little help with your writing? Well, go to Treehouse Publishers today. We can help you achieve your dream. Dreams come true in our house. Do you have a book just waiting in your spirit to come out and share with the world? Well, Treehouse Publishers will help you to achieve your dream. Write that book today. Sell your book in London, in Africa, and many other countries. Let your tree bear much fruit with Treehouse today. Go to www.gotreehouse.org. Okay, Bride, we're back. I am so sorry that happened earlier. Lord, I pray that this technology works this morning. Because I'm telling you, Bride, this is good stuff. We are learning the heart of God in this broadcast. I am ready. We'll just start over if we have to. We're in Genesis chapter 17 now. On the other broadcast, I prayed about the people that the town that's going through that with the shooting yesterday, so tragic. We prayed over that this morning. We prayed over Kathy Bidwell's daughter that's in critical care at Vanderbilt. We prayed in agreement, and God has heard these prayers, that she will rise up and fulfill the destiny that God has for her. Amen. Okay, now listen, today we are studying Genesis 17 through 21. I am using the King James Version Bible. That's the one I endorse and the one that I believe in. When we go to Washington, D.C. in a couple of weeks, we're going to the American Bible Museum. They will have an exhibit on how it all happened with King James. I did a study on it years ago, and I learned how the Catholics tried to kill him four or five times because they hate individualism. And that is what the Protestants are, basically, individualism. We're not the universal church like the Catholic Church, which is why we should not mix with them. You know, it's a whole other subject of the ecumenical movement. But anyways, okay, so today we are studying Abraham, the life of Abram. And in this broadcast today, the Lord blesses him into Abraham. Okay, so today we're going to learn a lot, Bride, about God's heart, about judgment. And so we need to pay really close attention to what's going to happen in this broadcast today. Okay, so let's all turn over to Genesis chapter 17. All right, let me get my YouVersion app and go back to 17. Miss Jean, thank you so much for making me aware. Well, hey, good morning, Miss Kathy. We prayed for you on the other broadcast that got shut down for you and Miss Tina. All right, let's go back to Genesis 17. Let's get started here.
Genesis 17. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me, and be thou perfect.
Perfect?
And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shalt...
Okay, Bride, I want to talk to you about this. I want us to examine God's heart, and examine Abram's heart at this time. His name is still Abram. When God told him he's going to bless him abundantly, what was the reaction of Abram? He fell on his face before God, but what does that mean? It means he was humbled. Humbled is the key. What happens today when all these ministers are out there preaching, you're going to be blessed, have the blessed life, blessed, blessed, blessed. Most of the time, people rise up in pride. Yeah, you know. We see a different reaction here when God tells him, I'm about to bless you beyond measure. He falls on his face because he's so humbled by it. Let's keep going.
Thy name anymore be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee, and I will make thee exceeding fruitful. And I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee, and to thy seed after thee, the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God.
Okay, Bride, now this is vital for us to know in the United States of America how God is talking to now Abraham, and he's explaining the land that he's about to give him. Now, let's really catch on to this, Bride. As we study the Word of God together, as we examine the Word, when God gives them land, why does he do it? It's because he wants to increase his relationship with his people. He says, I'm taking you into the promised land so that you can know me more, so that you can worship me, so that we can have a better relationship, okay? Now, I submit to you, Bride, this is why God gave us this country. These people that are disrespecting our country, disrespecting the flag, disrespecting our history, tearing down our history, whether the history was good or bad, it's still our history. Trying to destroy our heritage. You're attacking God, people. You're not attacking us. You're attacking God that gave us this country. Woe unto you. Woe unto you. Because God gave us this country. Why? Because he wanted us to know him more. He wanted us to worship him in spirit and in truth, in freedom, taking us out of Britain. This is our promised land. This is why when we have prayed, especially last year on the 40-day prayer, whenever Trump was being inaugurated in, we prayed back then that this generation will pick up that promise that God gave us, okay? That we will pick up the mantle of the covenant that God made with our nation. And that we will be the generation that will fulfill it. That's what we prayed last year. And this year, we repented for the sin and the stench that we have done before God. All right, let's keep going.
And God said unto Abraham, Thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. This is my covenant, which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised, And ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you. Every man-child in your generations, he that is born in the house, or bought with money of any stranger, which is not of thy seed. He that is born in thy house, and he that is bought with thy money, must needs be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised man-child, whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He hath broken my covenant.
Okay, Bride, I submit to you that when they do this chip, the mark of the beast, where they want to cut your skin and want to insert the beast in there, that is the same thing that happens here. They are, the ones that get that chip are circumcising themselves unto Satan, marking themselves, which is why, you know, they are eternally cut off from God. Let's keep going.
And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be, and I will bless her, and give thee a son also of her, yea, I will bless her. And she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her.
Oh.
Then Abram fell upon his face.
Twice he fell upon his face. Now, Bride, if my memory serves me correctly, did God already tell him that he was going to have a son named Isaac before? This is the second time that God told him this. I think this is so awesome. Let's keep going.
And laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. Oh. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him, and will make him fruitful, and will multiply him.
Well, let's catch on to what God just said right there. He said, I've heard you. In other words, Abram went to God, and he's like, God, this is my son Ishmael. I want you to bless him. And God is saying, I am. Look how much blessing that Abram has on his life, because he walks in what? Integrity. He walks perfect before God. He is obedient to God. He has a relationship with God. He talks with God. Isn't this amazing, Brad? Let's keep going.
Exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. And he left off talking with him, and God went up from Abraham.
Catch on to that, Bride. When it says God went up, I thought about Jesus when he was there with the disciples, and he said, I've got to leave so the Holy Ghost can come. And Jesus went up. Isn't that something? And God's telling him, you know, you need to be ready and all this other stuff. Here we go.
And Abraham took Ishmael his son, and all that were born in his house, and all that were bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskin in the selfsame day.
Immediately.
As God had said unto him. And Abraham was 90 years old and 9 when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And Ishmael, his son, was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. In the selfsame day was Abraham circumcised, and Ishmael, his son, and all the men of his house.
So Abraham basically obeyed the Lord. He listened to God, and he immediately obeyed. He was elderly, and his son was only 13. And they were both circumcised the same day. which means he basically took care of him. I am in Genesis chapter 17, and now we're, I think, in verse 25, Kathy. All right, let's keep going.
Born in the house, and bought with money of the stranger, was circumcised with him.
Okay, so now we're going into chapter 18.
Genesis 18. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door, and bowed himself toward the ground, and said, My Lord.
Okay, pause. Brian, who do you think those three men are? Who do you think they are? Well, I'd like to tell what I think they are. I think it's the Trinity. God the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost as one. Why? It's just my thinking, because this is how I explain to people about the Trinity. Okay, when you read the Bible, the Old Testament reflects God the Father, the Judge, the Righteous, the Holy. God the Father, it shows us how he ticks, how he thinks, why he acts the way he does. What does he expect? His characteristics, okay? And then you have the middle of the Bible, which is Jesus, the New Testament, right in the beginning, Jesus. It shows us Jesus's heart, Jesus's characteristics. What is his part in the Trinity? Then the end, you have the Holy Spirit. We learn about the Holy Spirit. What does he think? How does this person work? It's a person, not an it, okay? And then in the end, the Holy Spirit leaves the earth, and now it's complete, and we go into the millennium. Okay, so now, but this word represents one, the Lord, the complete one. So when it says the Lord appeared, that is what I believe it means. And then I try to explain it to people. Okay, you see me, I'm one that you see, but I am a spirit. Which means if God decided to take my spirit back to heaven, I would fall over and die because this body's just a shell. I live in a body that you see, but I possess a soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions. Okay? So, but you just see one. I believe this scripture is a perfect reflection of the Trinity. And we'll examine this as we go further into this, Bride. Okay, so it says here in verse 18, And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And this is Abraham sits in the door, at the tent of the door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran.
Fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree, and I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on, for therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, So do, as thou hast said.
Okay, Bride, I want to encourage you about this. Let's notice what a good hospitality person that Abraham is. He sees them come and he says, please, let me take care of you. Rest here a little bit. Let me feed you. Let you get some rest so that your heart will be merry when you leave. I want to encourage you, Bride, if you have an extra room in your house, open it for the prophets. Open up one for men and women of God that travel and need somewhere to stay for one night. When I traveled across the United States, I've seen it in many, many homes where they dedicate one room to the Lord. And when people come in and they travel in, they will take care of them. They will feed them. They will set time.
And Abraham ran unto the herd, and fetched a calf, tender and good, and gave it unto a young man. And he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk, and the calf which he had. And they said unto him, Where is Sarah? Said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I of a surety bear a child?
Sorry about that, Facebook. What the world? All right, Facebook, sorry about that. That old devil. Lord, I pray that this will be able to stay on. We pray for the technology. What I was saying is I'm going to bring back up my Periscope. This is where I left off on Periscope as well. Okay, let's say here, Genesis. As y'all are signing back in on Facebook, I am so sorry. The devil is a liar. Amen. Okay, Genesis 17-21. Okay. Okay, so let's go back just a few verses. We're in Genesis 18, and for you that got kicked off on Facebook, I will go ahead. Servant, let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort your hearts. After that you shall pass on, for therefore are you come to your servant. And they said, so do as thou hast said. So this is him saying, please, let me take care of y'all, please. And they're like, yes. And then I was telling you, right, if you can open up your home, have a prophet's quarters in your house for traveling preachers. People are doing this all over America, okay? It will bless you and it will bless them as well. Okay. Good morning, Miss Kathy. I'm so sorry my last one got disconnected. Okay, so Abram hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, make ready quickly the measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran into the herd. In other words, he was very fast. He knew who was there visiting, didn't he? And fetch a calf tender and good, and give it unto the young man. And he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed, and set it before them. And he sat by them under the tree, and they did eat. Yes, God ate meat. I think that's very important because of what I've been revealing about the New Age and the way they do the vegans and all that kind of stuff. Okay, and they said unto him, where is Sarah, your wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now, this is the third time that God has told him, I'm going to give you a son. And why do you think God did that three times, Brad? Because remember in the beginning when God started talking to Abraham, and Abraham said, you know, God was telling him how he's going to bless him, and he's going to give him all these descendants as far as the stars and all this. And he's like, God, I don't even have a child. You haven't blessed me with a child yet. And now God is telling you, you will in your old age. You and her are both old. But it's okay. Is nothing impossible with me. I will do this within a year. This is what he's saying right here, confirming it. Now, apparently, Abraham did not tell Sarah what God said previously, because look at her reaction here. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure with my Lord being old also? And the Lord said to Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of surety bear a child which I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. But then Sarah denied it and said, I laugh not, for she was afraid. And she said, nay. But he said, nay, thou did laugh. Now, Bride, just in case you missed my analogy of the Trinity, I want to explain that one more time for you that are watching on YouTube and you that are watching on Twitter and Periscope. The Trinity is God, and let me explain how that is. Okay, when you see me, I am one. Okay, I have a body. If my body failed and fell over with a heart attack, then I would die. If God took my spirit, every one of us have a spirit given to us by God. This is how we have a conscience. This is how we know good. Okay, if God was to take that, my body would fall over dead. But I also have a soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions. Okay? That's why we have to get all that, your soul, put under submission to the Spirit, which is always truth. Amen? Okay, now when you read the Bible reflects the Trinity. How? Because the Old Testament represents God the Father. It teaches us about His characteristics. How does God think? Why does He do that? Well, God is holy. God is just. We also learn about His mercy and His protection. But then in the middle of the Bible, we learn about Jesus. We learn about Jesus' heart. What does Jesus think? What is His characteristic? Then in the end, we learned about the Holy Spirit. We learn, what about the Holy Spirit? What does He do? How does He think? Then you put it all together and it's one book. It is God. It is the Lord. Now when they appeared to Abraham, there was three of them, but there was one in his eyes. He called it the Lord. Okay, that's why when we pray, we say in the name of Jesus. Because when Jesus came down, that was, we saw one, and it has a name, and His name is Jesus. So it's complicated, but that's it in a nutshell. Okay, let's keep going here.
Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid. And he said, nay, but thou didst laugh.
Okay, now we're in verse 16.
And the men rose up from thence, and looked toward Sodom. And Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. But I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. And the Lord said, because of the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah.
Okay, let me pause right there. Now, this is the three talking amongst themselves. Should I tell Abraham what's about to happen? Remember how God started with the judgment of Sodom and Gomorrah. God, I believe with that one, God heard. Am I right? God heard the wickedness. I think that is what he said, right, Brian? God heard the wickedness coming from Sodom and Gomorrah. Let's see here. Okay. We learn in chapter 13 how he gave the first blessing to Abram. All right, let's see here. I'm looking in verse 14. I can't find it right now, but the point is either God saw or heard the stench that came up from Sodom and Gomorrah. But now God has come down Himself. They come down to see for themselves what is happening in Sodom and Gomorrah. So God's already made up His mind what He's going to do, but He wants to see it. So then He talks and says, should we tell Him? And let's see what they do, Brad.
Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me. And if...
Okay, so I was right. He heard the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah. So now he's saying, I'm coming down to see what I'm hearing. Oh my goodness.
Not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city.
Okay, Brad, what's happening here? God decides I'm going to go ahead and tell Abraham, and then Abraham is interceding on behalf of the city. Well, he knows his family is there, first of all. So he's interceding to God. Let's see what happens.
Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked, that be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?
And the Lord said, Brian, let me submit right here. The only reason that he had such rights to be so bold before God and to say, how can you do that being the God that you are type of deal? How? Because he walked in holiness and God respected his opinion. See what I mean? He's his son. He wants a relationship with him. So he gave him rights to speak to him like that. Think about how it is with kings, how they do all that. Okay, let's keep going.
If I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. Then Abraham answered and said, behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes.
He's being humble now.
There shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous.
Verse 28.
Will thou destroy all the city for lack of 5? And he said, if I find there 40 and 5, I will not destroy it. And he spake unto him yet again, and said, peradventure, there shall be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake. And he said unto him,
he's being real bold now, Brad.
And I will speak, peradventure, there shall 30 be found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake.
Okay, Brad, let's examine this a minute. Why do you think he is saying this? Okay, you have to remember, go all the way back in the Bible when we was talking about Abram, and when he split with Lot, they had so much abundance, Bride. Remember, there was a famine in the land. They had so much abundance. Herdsmen, family, cattle, silver and gold, all this. There was so much that they had to split. And Abram gave Lot the right and said, hey, you can go where you want to go and I will go opposite. It's up to you. So Lot looks and sees the beautiful plains and says, I want to go there, which is right next to Sodom. We talked about this, Brad. And what does he do when he gets there? He immediately sets his tent towards Sodom. And then like the next verse or two, we see he's in Sodom. So he done moved all of his things over to Sodom. Now picture this. How many people did Lot take into Sodom and Gomorrah? How many people, cattle, all this stuff did he bring into here? There had to be more than 20. I submit probably 100,000 he brought here, like a whole village of people. And here's Abraham. Will you do it for only 20? Now this is his family, who you would think would walk in holiness and righteousness. You see what I mean? There should be at least 20 minimum. And he's pleading to God on just 20. Will you save the city for just 20? Think about how sad this is for Lot. Remember, Lot opened the door by moving into Sodom, and then the devil come in, plundered his house, took everything, and even took him captive. But because he's kin to Abram at the time, Abram went and got him out and restored everything unto him just because of who Abram is. Now, God is coming down and about to bring a huge, huge judgment over to him. Okay? So he's about to bring a huge judgment. And he's telling him, please, just for 20. Will you spare for 20? He's like, yes. I just wanted you to get a feel of this, Bride, okay? Here we go.
And he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure, 10 shall be found there.
Now he's down to 10.
And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham.
Can y'all imagine what Abraham was thinking? 10? Oh, well, I got that. He's not going to destroy that city. I got 10 family members. Lot and his wife's 2. His 3 sons is 5. Their wives is 8. And maybe other, just 2 other people. You know he's thinking this is not going to happen. Okay, Brian, we are in chapter 19. This is good stuff. We're learning about God and judgment.
Genesis 19. And there came 2 angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground, and he said,
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. First of all, why was Lot at the gate of Sodom and Gomorrah? Was he a gatekeeper? Was he a watchman? Why was he there? And then we notice that God, that they left, and now the angels. So apparently God came down and saw, and then he's like, there's not even 10. And so what does God do? He sends the angels to bring the judgment to pass. Now, remember, the first judgment that happened was in the Garden of Eden. The first judgment was when they ate of the wrong fruit off the wrong tree. The judgment was, why did you do this? He talked to them about it. Why did you do this? And then they explained themselves. And then God said, this is your punishment. This is how you're judged. But now you have to get out of my garden. And so God sent angels to make the first border. Remember I told you this about President Trump? God told me he's the one that's causing him to make a border, because God is a God of order. And the border is God's will for this country. So he said, remember what I did in the Garden of Eden? I'm the one that created the first border. Put the angels there on guard. Okay? So in this case, he sent the angels to Sodom and Gomorrah, because the judgment's already set. It's already been done. God has made up his mind. So now these 2 guys are coming in, these 2 angels. And they know God is putting his foot down on this, and it's going to be done. So let's see what happens. This is such, it's so sad, Brad, when you think about it. Okay, let's keep going. Well, let's read what it said. And there came 2 angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, he recognized who they was, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face to the ground, just like Abram and Abraham did with God. He humbled himself. He bowed himself. He got down before him, before those angels. He recognized who they was. Can you imagine? Oh my goodness, Brad, let's just put ourselves in Lot's position. Because how many ministers are like this in America right now? Where they started out on the right path. They started out correctly with the blessings. They started out with the favor of God on them. They started out and God blessed them abundantly. He blessed their family. So much that he had to leave, and he had all this with him. Now he's done sinned and went over into Sodom and Gomorrah. He opened the door, the gates to the enemy to come in and plunder him. Okay? And then because of Abram's blessing, he went and restored all that to him. But now he sees them coming. I just can't imagine the thoughts running through Lot's head. Like, oh my God, what have I done? I have brought all my peoples here to this sin. And now judgment has come to me because of what I did. Picture this, Bride. This is so deep. And this is where we are at in our country. This is an example of what's about to take place. God told Abram, this is coming. God told him what he's going to do. Abraham pleaded on behalf of the people. God went down and saw, and God judged. But is Abraham here trying to save Lot and trying to help in the midst of the judgment? No. Abraham is sticking in his position in the army. He's staying where he's at. He done what he was supposed to do, and the rest is up to God. And bride, we're going to have this when this judgment hits. I'm telling you by the Spirit of the Lord right now. You're going to have to stay in your position and let God do what he's going to do. He's a good, good father. And he's going to have to whip some people. He's going to have to put them in, you know, correct them, put them into position, chastise them, just like what's happening right here with Lot. Abraham is staying where God told him to stay. He obeyed God, thus he's not being judged, okay? But his family is. Now, we know that he loved his family, because when he found out they were taken captive, oh, he rallied up all the troops and he went after them, okay? He was ready to destroy a city over his family. Can you imagine how Abraham is feeling right now? Knowing that his own nephew, there's nothing he can do about it. The judgment's already been said. He did what he could. He pleaded. He prayed for Lot and for those people. Okay? But now the judgment's about to take place. And this is where we're at in this country right now, bride. I'm telling you, as serious as I can be, this is where we're at. We're going to have to let God be God. And we have to have our spiritual eyes focused on him in obedience. And just obey him and listen to him, just like Abraham did. Because God has a reason for doing what he's doing. And if we reach our arm of flesh in there to help the suffering, you know, I mean, if God tells us to, we have to. But I'm saying, we have to let them get on their face, like Lot did. Instead of us seeing them fall and go out there and say, no, let me help you. No, they're going to have to fall. We got to let God be God. And we have to, remember I told you, we are accountable to God for our own self, and they are accountable to God too. If we step in there with our arm of flesh and try to help them, we're going to stop God from doing what he's got to do. He knows how to get them. We've been praying for them and believing for them. He knows how to get them. So, I just want you to consider Lot, how he must be feeling right now. He's got everything he has is in this place. He brought all them people there. He knows what he did. And let's see what happens here, bride.
Behold now, my lord, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go on your ways. And they said, nay, but we will abide in the street all night.
Okay, now picture what he did. He was being a host. He was like, please, let me take care of you. I will take care of you. And they're like, nope, we will stay in the street all night. Oh, you know Lot. He knows what's happening in that city. He knows what they're doing. Let's see what he says.
And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and entered into his house. And he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat.
So, Lot, I believe it's because he knew just how wicked it was. And he pleaded with them, please, 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 stay with me. Because he knew what was in the streets. All right, and he fed them. Remember, he's a good host.
But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot, and said unto him, where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them.
Bride, how sad is that? How sad. Because Not only is it just a few knocking on the door, honey, they are surrounding the house. I mean, picture this, bride. He already knows what he did. He knows the stench that is in that place, which is why he said, please, angels, come in here with me. Let me take care of you. I know what's out here. And then when they get in there, they surround the house. The men of the city surround the house. Like, you're not going nowhere. We want to have sex with these guys. They're fresh blood coming in our city. Think about how sick. And remember what God said earlier. The evil in their mind. Well, that was Noah. Evil in their mind continually. But I see that here. They have surrounded the house. They're screaming and demanding for that flesh of those two guys that they want to have sex with. How sick is this? Where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. Let's see what happens here.
And Lot went out at the door unto them, and shut the door after him.
Can you imagine what he did? He's like trying to shut the door behind him, and he's trying to plead with these people.
And said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold now, I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof.
All right, pause, bride. Oh my gosh. Let's look at how tragic this is. How tragic. Okay. Lot knows that these are angels from God, that God himself has sent them. Remember, Lot knows God, but he's a backslidden preacher. He knows what is happening. And he has two virgin women in his house, two daughters that are virgins. He says they have not known anyone yet. They're virgins. But these men were so vile in their perversion, so sick and off in a reprobate mind. They don't want a woman. They want a man. They want to defile these men. Now, then you have to look at it like, how sad is this for Lot? That he knew the sin and how backslid he was. That he would throw his daughters in the fire to Moloch. Remember, we talked about this the other day. About people in today's society that do the same thing. Well, Dr. June, how do they do that? Because when they label their children as disabled when they're not, so they can get money from the government, they're throwing them in the fire. Why? Because they are throwing them off in the pits of hell because they're labeling these children with sicknesses and diseases that will label them the rest of their life for the almighty dollar. That is a stench in God's nostrils. God has a plan for them. And they're latching on to the beast for provision. It's unholy in all its ways. We repented for it in the 40-day team. We repented for that mess. It's terrible. But in this case, Lot did the same thing with his two daughters. He's like, I'll give you my own flesh and blood if you don't harm these two people. Let's see what these guys say back to him.
And they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them? And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door.
Wow. They were angry, Brad. They were furious. They were going to break down the door and take those men. Wow, how sick, vile, perverted, gross in every way. Ugh, how that is. And how Lot must have felt. I mean, my heart goes out to the man. Because You can imagine him in that moment. It's probably like 1,000 pictures running through his mind. I remember when I was with Abram. I remember the beautiful fields. I remember when I had all my blessings. I remember when it was so great. And what have I done? I have brought my people. I have touched the unclean thing. And now it has overtaken me. And now it is destroying me from the inside out. And judgment has come to the house of God. That's exactly what is happening right here. I mean, I just can't imagine what he's thinking when they're pressing on him and trying to push him to get in their house, into his house. Oh, let's see what happens here, Brad. This is so sad.
But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut to the door.
Now, that right there is powerful in itself. The angels of God are having mercy on Lot. Okay? Why? Lot is backslid. Lot has sinned. He brought all these people into this ungodly place. He has touched the unclean thing. Why? Because of his family. They pulled him in away from them people because of what they're about to do to these ungodly, unholy, vile men.
And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door.
Sad.
And the men said unto Lot, Hast thou here any besides son-in-law, and thy sons, and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it.
Wow.
And Lot went out, and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place.
All right, let me pause right here. Pause. On January of 16th of this year, while we was in the middle of the 40-day consecration, the Lord gave me a dream and gave me a word for this country. And the Lord told me that he is sending angels to this country this year that will write Ichabod over ministries this year. The Lord uses angels to bring judgment. We'll learn this when it comes to the children of Israel. Whenever he judges the children of Israel, when the angels came through of death and killed all the firstborn of the Pharaoh and all this other stuff. He uses angels to execute. They're like soldiers of the heavenly realm. So in this case, these angels are telling Lot, let's examine this bride. This is important. And the men said unto Lot, Hast thou here any besides son-in-law and your sons and your daughters? See, right there should have been 10 sons-in-laws, which meant the daughters and their husbands. And whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. Remember, Bride, we talked about touch not the unclean thing. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. The first sin that happened to Lot is when he pitched his tent toward Sodom. What do you mean, Dr. Jim? He had it set in his heart towards Sodom, and within a sentence or two, or a verse or two, now he's living in Sodom. What happened when he opened that door to the enemy? He crept into his entire family line. And we're going to see what this did when he opened the door to the enemy, to his family line. Because, remember, Abraham just pleaded with God, if there's only 10, surely with my family there's 10. But let's see what happens here, Brad.
For the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened to Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city.
All right, let's examine this. The angels are telling him, Abraham, For we will destroy this place because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord. That's another thing about the word that the Lord gave me was, this is all because of the stench that has come to his nostrils over America. And he said, I'm going to bring the stench right back to you and let the people see the stench that you're in. And those of you that worship your own image, you're so into your image, you're going to die and live with that image throughout eternity. Because we're to be in the image of God type of deal. But he says right here, and Lot went out and spoke unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. Bride, I just want to cry. I want to fall on my face right now over what I'm about to say. They lost all respect for that man. They lost respect because they saw the sin. They saw what he had done. They didn't even believe him. Who are you to say anything about the Lord? You're a backslidden preacher. You've been living in sin. I don't even believe you. People know. And when it comes, when this judgment comes, there's going to be a lot of angry people that have been following these false preachers. And they're going to be coming back and they're going to be addressing these people. Why didn't you tell me the truth? So I want you to notice they didn't even respect him. They didn't believe him. Which means there's not even 10 here. Not even 10. Not even his own family. How sad is this, bride? How he opened the door and the devil came in. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take your wife and your two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of this sinner, of this city. Because the angels knew that this meant, bride, how sad is this? His sons, he lost his sons. He lost his sons. He lost not any male inheritance going with him. His family name being wiped out right there. Bride, do you understand the ramifications of what just happened here? What is taking place? This is such a sad picture. And this is what is happening in our country today. When we go into partnering with ungodly associations, touching the unclean thing, partnering with the spirit of this world, immediately it's like a cancer that just begins to infect everything about you, everything you're attached to. Becomes infected. It will just become like a infected being. Everything you're attached to. And remember, bride, we are judged ourselves. The Lord revealed during these 40 days that the people that sit under these ministers and they see them going off the edge and they still participate in that sin with them, they will be just as guilty when the judgment comes. Because you are judged for your own self. Seek you first. The kingdom of God. Not seek ye first a man. And you stay with this man out of loyalty. As he's going off the cliff. You can pray for that man, but you can't change that man. And if he made the choice to go off into false delusion and to go off the edge, that is his choice. But if you stay there and you sit there in that church and you give your tithes, you're just as guilty as them. Just like if you vote for an ungodly association or an ungodly people that does not stand up for the kingdom of God, you have partnered with that sin and you'll answer to God for it. Because you will be approving of their behavior. when you vote for that party that stands up for everything God's not, homosexuality, all the other things, abortion, then you are just as guilty as them and you will answer to God for that. What you touch, what you agree with, what you participate in, you are held accountable for that. If a preacher partners with, like say, the ecumenical movement, which is the one world order, which is the one world beast, which is the ones that will persecute the righteous, when you partner with them, you are bringing destruction to your entire family line, destruction to your church and everything attached to it. This is the hour that the church has got to rise up, like Abraham. I feel the fire of God so much. When the king of Sodom approached Abraham, after Abraham saved Lot and all his people and brought them all back with everything, he recovered all. The king's like, let me bless you. Abraham's like, I am not touching the unclean thing. I don't want anything from you. This is where the church has to be in this hour. If you want to partner with that unclean thing, you can do it. I don't want nothing to do with it. I am not, oh no, I'm out. I'm not partnering with this thing. I'm not agreeing with you as you're doing it either. If you want to do it to your own self and to your own detriment. Because I am held accountable to God for myself. And what I do affects my entire family. And I'm not opening up the enemy, the gates, to my family. Bride, this is why I'm telling you. If tragedy happens in your family, the first thing we should do is get on our face and ask God, what did we do to open up the gates? Examine ourselves. This is one of the biggest tragedies of the church today. Excuse me. Is they're not in self-examination. They're not in repentance. They're not willing to be corrected, rebuked, chastised by God. That's what judgment is for. When you will not willingly examine yourself and willingly repent and willingly look at yourself honest before God, then God will be forced to do it publicly and forced to expose what you're doing because you're refusing to do it when he's already addressing you in private. And believe me, bride, all these ministers out there that have been exposed have already been addressed by God in private. He doesn't want to just turn around and blast everybody. He wants you to repent and turn from it. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to confess something about me. Years ago, I don't know, 20 years ago or whatever, when I was much younger, I was tempted to be with this married man. And I was thinking, you know how the devil lies to you. This was back in my party days. You know nobody will know about it, blah, blah, blah. And this man was so good looking and sexy and all this. In the midst of my sin, I heard the Lord say, if you do that, I will expose you. And I'm like, whoa, I didn't want to be exposed. So I didn't do it. I turned, I'm like, oh no. But the point is, we are held accountable for our own self. We don't want to be like Lot. We don't want to open the door to the enemy. We don't want to open the door to our families. And that is so sad. He's leaving without his sons. Just his two daughters and his wife. All the wealth he had. All the abundance he had. Out the window. Let's continue. We're learning so much today, bride.
And while he lingered, the man laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife.
That is profound within itself. When God told Abraham, I want you to circumcise your people. I want this covenant to be between me and thee. What did Abraham do, bride? Hastened. Hurried. He did it. He obeyed immediately. He didn't slow down. He didn't question it. He didn't reason it out. He didn't do any of that stuff. He immediately obeyed. When they came to his house, he immediately acted. But right here with Lot in his sin, he reasoned, slowed down. He was battling, hesitating. Why? Because he had sin in his heart. He had opened that door. He knew where he was at.
And upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city.
Wow. The Lord was so merciful to Abraham that even Lot, in his backslidden, dumb stupor, who was wanting to stay there because his heart was really still in Sodom, is what it boils down to, and he hesitated, and the angels forced him out in his stupor. All he come out with after everything he went in with was his wife and two daughters. Four people.
And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, Escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, Oh, not so, my lord. Behold now, thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast shown unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Behold now, this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. And he said unto him,
All right, let me pause here. Let's examine this little part, Brian. Don't you think when the angels told him, we want you to go up in that mountain, that God already knew the lack that he would have going up there? Don't you think if God has enough mercy on you to pull you out of destruction, that if he tells you to go up on that mountain, there's going to be provision up there? But here's Lot, which sin reasons, sin questions, sin doubts, okay? Here's Lot. And Lot said unto them, Oh no, my Lord, no. Thinking he knows it all. Behold now, thy servant has found grace in your sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life, and I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die, spirit of fear. Behold now, this city is near to flee unto, and it's a little one. Oh, let me escape there, and my soul shall live. Wow.
See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city, for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither. For I cannot do anything till thou be come thither. Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar.
So apparently God was going to destroy all the cities in the plain. Anything that had touched the unclean thing. Do you catch on to this, Bride? We're learning God's heart. We are learning what makes God tick. We are learning when God judges, how he judges. What does he judge? Well, he was going to destroy everything around there. But then when Lot, in his sin, says, I want to go to that city instead of where God's telling me to go, then what does God do? Okay, if you, who I am blessing because of Abraham, decide to go over there, I am going to bless you over there. I'm not going to destroy that city just because you're there. The protection of God in the midst of the judgment. Let's keep going.
The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities, and all the plain, and all the inhabitants of the cities, and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked and she became a pillar of salt.
Okay, Brad. Why do you think she looked back? Because she was grieving? Because she reasoned within herself? She had too much of that in her. She was consumed with it. Remember, she only came out because of Lot and because of Abraham. Okay? But as she did, and she turned around, she became a pillar of salt. Now here's Lot. Oh my gosh. Can you imagine what he's thinking as this backslidden preacher? Everything he had is being destroyed. And now he lost his wife over it. All his possessions, his sons-in-law, everything he ever had, gone. And now it's just him and his daughters. There's three of them. Imagine the pain and the sorrow in his heart for what he had done. We need to consider this, Brad. Let's keep going.
And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah.
Oh my God.
And toward all the land of the plain. And beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace.
Brad, I just want to cry. Oh my gosh. Can you imagine how Abraham felt? Can you imagine? This is his nephew and his family. And he interceded to God. And now judgment has come. And he sees all this smoke rising. He don't know who is dead and who's alive in there. And his family is in there. He does not know that his nephew's sons are burning. They're being judged by God. They're dying. Everybody except two, the two daughters that was attached to Lot, is being killed right now. Every animal, everywhere Lot treaded and stood, all of his possessions, all the silver and gold he had when he went into the city, every bit of it being destroyed in the judgment. And now Abraham is looking. I just can't imagine how he feels, because my heart, I just want to weep. I just want to cry. I just want to think how terrible that must have been. Let's continue.
And it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain.
Verse 29.
That God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, when he overthrew the cities in the which Lot dwelt.
What? Did we just catch on to what that said? Oh my goodness. This is verse 29 in chapter 19. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham, remember, and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, when he overthrew the cities in which Lot dwelt. Wow. Everything that man touched and went was destroyed. Ugh. This should show up. Touch not the unclean thing. Sodom and Gomorrah, before it was even in the picture, was already wicked. For your own self. So now you will be, whatever, forced into hell. Because you refused. You know, you followed after the pattern of the world, basically. We cannot do that, Brad. We will be held accountable to God for our own self, our own destiny. They are going to do what they are going to do. The world is going to do what they're going to do. If people decide to follow heresy, It is their choice. But whether we follow it or not is our choice. And that's exactly what happened here. My goodness. But I just feel so sad for Abraham, having to see the judgment, the suffering, the hurting of what's happening right now. And that's exactly what we are going to see very soon.
And Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain.
Took him up in the mountain. So let's see what happened.
And the firstborn said unto the younger, Our father is old, and there is not a man in the earth to come in unto us after the manner of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night. And the firstborn went in, and lay with her father. And he proceeded.
Wait a minute, I'm having another epiphany. Now the daughters have the spirit of fear. Oh, we gotta have sex with our dad because we won't have any more children. Now, why would they think that, right? When they just left Zoar that had people in it. The spirit of fear. Wow.
Not when she lay down, nor when she arose. And it came to pass.
Also, guess what else just came to me, Brad? Perversion. In the camp. Incest. It went right now. We're in chapter 20. This is good. Good stuff.
Genesis 20. And Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country, and dwelled between Kadesh and Shur, and sojourned in Gerar.
Okay, let's pause right here. Pause. Are we seeing that Abraham is not stopping? He is not stopping his mission? Is that what we're seeing, Brian? I think so. He is continuing forward.
And Abraham said of Sarah his wife, She is my sister. And Abimelech king of Gerar sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night, and said to him, Behold, thou art but a dead man, for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. But Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation?
Bride, what is this that just happened here? Did we not see this before? And Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country and dwelled between Kadesh, which means he moved forward. And Abraham said of Sarah his wife, She's my sister. And Abimelech king of Gerar sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said unto him, Behold, thou art but a dead man. For the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. Didn't this happen before, Bride? And it's like, what the world? You're doing it again, Abraham? But look how God protects him. He protects him. He won't let nobody touch him. Why? Because he is walking uprightly before him. So let's keep going. Now we're in verse 4.
Said he not unto me, She is my sister? And she, even she herself, said, He is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands have I done this. And God said unto him in a dream, Yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart. For I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. Now therefore restore the man his wife. For he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, that thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, know thou that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine.
All right, pause. Look at what God is doing with this king. This king is not God's people. Okay, let me make sure this is a king. Came to Abimelech. She is a king. Okay, he is a king. God came to see that man in a dream. This man is having a conversation with God in a dream. Why do we think it's impossible that God would use President Trump? Even if he is not pastor material and we think he should be perfect. Look what we're going to learn about King Cyrus in the very near future. Let's keep going.
Therefore Abimelech rose early in the morning and called all his servants and told all these things in their ears. And the men were sore afraid. Then Abimelech called Abraham and said unto him, What hast thou done unto us? And what have I offended thee, that thou hast brought on me and on my kingdom a great sin? Thou hast done deeds unto me that ought not to be done. And Abimelech said unto Abraham, What sawest thou, that thou hast done this thing? And Abraham said, Because I thought, surely, the fear of God is not in this place, and they will slay me for my wife's sake. And yet indeed she is my sister. She is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. And she became my wife. And it came to pass, when God caused me to wander from my father's house, that I said unto her, This is thy kindness which thou shalt show unto me. At every place whither we shall come, say of me, He is my brother. And Abimelech took sheep and oxen, and men servants, and women servants, and gave them unto Abraham, and restored him Sarah his wife. And Abimelech said,
He obeyed the Lord, didn't he?
My land is before thee. Dwell where it pleaseth thee. And unto Sarah he said, Behold, I have given thy brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Behold, he is to thee a covering of the eyes unto all that are with thee, and with all other. Thus she was reproved.
Wow.
So Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they bare children.
Wow, because this king obeyed the Lord. God blessed him, didn't he? And gave him children. Now, he ended up blessing Abraham and Sarah and told them, Look, you can have land anywhere you want it. Let's keep going.
For the Lord had fast closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife.
Wow. Which means we must examine why things happen. God may shut us up for some reason.
Genesis 21.
All right, last chapter.
And the Lord visited Sarah, as he had said. And the Lord did unto Sarah, as he had spoken.
Oh.
Sarah conceived, and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him.
All right, Paul, so now we're coming into the promise. He promised him and Sarah a son and told him to name him Isaac. Now the time has come and she has bore a son. Can you imagine? She's in her 90s. And she said, Shall I bear pleasure in my old age? And now she was able to carry this child for 9 months. Can you imagine every day how she would talk to Isaac in her womb and just love on him? Like, what a miracle. Now they are seeing the promised land come in. Let's keep going.
And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. And she said, Who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age.
Okay, let me just share with you what she's doing right here. She is sharing her testimony. Remember, bride, that our story is for God's glory. No matter what shame we have done in the past, she is sharing her shame. She's saying, I laughed at God, and now look at me. I'm old with a child, and I have milk in my breast. In my old age, she is sharing the testimony, giving God the glory. Let's keep going.
And the child grew and was weaned. And Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking.
Oh, Ishmael.
Wherefore she said unto Abraham, Cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman. In all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called.
Wow, bride. Oh, there's so much happening right now in this verse. First of all, Abraham is walking uprightly before God, even though he made mistakes. When he told a half-truth about his wife, when he went to the city, he told the half-truth. God still blessed him. And look, God is so involved in this man's life. I mean, picture what just happened here. Here is Sarah seeing that the first son, which was Ishmael, which is not the promise, it's where she rushed and caused it. Sarah did. And now this boy, remember, he's 13 years old now, probably 14 by now. He's looking and he's mocking Isaac. So, oh, mother hen rose up and said, you gonna mock my son? Get out. Go. You're not gonna mock. This is the promised one. You're not. You know, it's basically what she's saying. But Abraham was grieved. He was the father of Ishmael. Even though it wasn't the promised one, he still loved him. He probably did things with him, taught him how to ride horses, all that stuff. And now his wife that he really loves is telling him they got to go. Now this has a lot to do with bride, letting things go, which we prayed as an idol. How we want to hold on to things. We want to hoard things because we want them. But when the time comes and God asks for them back, we got to let them go. Because everything we have is God's. Nothing we own is ours. Not our clothes, our house, our car, our children, our spouses, our jobs, nothing. God owns it all. So God sees the turmoil that's happening in Abraham's heart. And God loves that man so much. He has promised him everything already, remember? And he sees that his heart is grieved over this son having to leave, over the wife asking for the son to leave. And God tells him, let's examine this. This is important, bride. And God, this is verse 12, and God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in your sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman. In all that Sarah has said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall your seed be called. And also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is your seed. Let's examine that again. Look at all of the ramifications of blessing to Abraham, Lot, his family, and now Ishmael. All because Abraham is right before God. See how everything we touch is affected for the good or for the bad. He's saying, because he's your son, oh, I'm going to make it. I'm going to give that boy a nation. That is what he says. And of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is your seed. And Abraham rose up early in the morning. This is verse 14. Let's continue.
And also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder, and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba.
All right. Let's consider Abraham's heart right here. My goodness. Oh, poor man. He just saw his nephew's whole city and family get destroyed with Sodom and Gomorrah. Now he has to give up his son, Ishmael. And he's giving them the food, and he's sending them off. Can you imagine having to obey the Lord in all these different aspects that God is telling him to do? He told him, "For the covenant that I have with you, I want you to circumcise you and everybody in your camp." He did it immediately. "I want to go down and destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, even though your nephew's there." And he's pleased with him and pleased with him. And he says, "Okay, go for it." Now he went over to this king and had all this, and he was blessed. There you go. And now it's with Ishmael. All the trust that Abraham has been going through just so far in his life, that we have seen time and time again, when God tells Abraham to do something and how he obeys to God, obeys God. So let's keep going here.
"And the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs, and she went and sat her down over against him a good way off, as it were a bowshot, for she said, 'Let me not see the death of the child.' And she sat over against him, and lift up her voice, and wept."
Okay, so here she is out in the wilderness. She feels cast out of the camp, basically. Okay, and this is what happened. "And she went and sat down," oh, wait a minute. "And the water," well, let's back up here, "putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water was spent in the bottle," which means it was empty. "And she cast the child under one of the shrubs." In other words, she hid the child. "And she went and set her down over against him a good way off, as if it were a bow shot. For she said, 'Let me not see the death of the child.' And she sat over against him and lifted up her voice and wept." In other words, she didn't want to see what was about to happen. She thought he was about to die. So let's see what happens. We're in verse 17.
"And God heard the voice of the lad. And the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, 'What aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not. For God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him in thine hand.
Oh.
For I will make him a great nation.' And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the bottle with water, and gave the lad drink."
Pause, pause, pause. Remember Lot refused to go up into the mountain? Because he had the spirit of fear saying he will die up there. And look what God just did for Hagar. She is off in the wilderness, and she has no water. But God heard Ishmael. And God blessed him. She opened her eyes. God opened her eyes. And now there's water. God will provide. That is the key here. God will provide. Let's keep going.
"And God was with the lad. And he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer."
Oh.
"And he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran. And his mother took him a wife out of the land of Egypt. And it came to pass at that time that Abimelech and Phicol, the chief captain of his host, spake unto Abraham, saying, 'God is with thee in all that thou doest. Now therefore, swear unto me hereby God that thou wilt not deal falsely with me, nor with my son, nor with my son's son, but according to the kindness that I have done unto thee.'"
Pause, pause, pause. All right. This man apparently has respect for Abraham. Remember, we talked about Lot, that in the end, Lot had no respect from anyone in his family because of him going off into sin and backsliding. But obviously, Abraham has great respect because of his upright living.
"Thou shalt do unto me and to the land wherein thou hast sojourned. And Abraham said, 'I will swear.' And Abraham reproved Abimelech because of a well of water, which Abimelech's servants had violently taken away. And Abimelech said, 'I wot not who hath done this thing. Neither didst thou tell me, neither yet heard I of it, but today.' And Abraham took sheep and oxen, and gave them unto Abimelech, and both of them made a covenant. And Abraham said, 7 ewe lambs of the flock by themselves. And Abimelech said unto Abraham, What mean these 7 ewe lambs which thou hast set by themselves? And he said, For these 7 ewe lambs shalt thou take of my hand, that they may be a witness unto me, that I have digged this well. Wherefore he called that place Beersheba, because there they swear both of them. Thus they made a covenant at Beersheba. Then Abimelech rose up, and Phicol the chief captain of his host, and they returned into the land of the Philistines. And Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba, and called there on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And Abraham sojourned in the Philistines' land many days.
All right, Bride, today was so good. We learned so much about the heart of God. We learned a lot today about judgment. We learned about backslidden states. We learned about touching not the unclean thing. We learned about how when judgment comes, everything that you're attached to gets judged. Also, though, when the blessings come, everything attached to you gets blessed. So, what I want to pray for us today as we end this broadcast. This was so good today. I am sorry about the technology cutting out that time. But I want to pray for us that we will be in right position when the judgment comes to America, and we will not lose out. All right? And we will not be caught unaware. Let's pray. Lord, I pray for all of the viewers today and the ones listening, Lord, that they will be in right alignment with you today. And Lord, I pray that they will examine their heart about their family line. What have they opened up from the enemy? What do they need to shut? What gates do they need to shut? How do they need to take a stand in their family and make things right? Lord, restore unto the bride, Lord. Let her see for herself what's taking place out there so she will know what to partner with and what not to partner with. And give us wisdom in this hour, Lord. We thank you for teaching us, Lord. Your word is so rich and beautiful and strong. Thank you for teaching us today, correcting us, rebuking us, and chastising us in your word. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. All right, Bride, I pray that today's broadcast has blessed you. It's been really good. So tomorrow we'll pick up in Genesis chapter 22. Now tomorrow, since I do have, let's see, today is Thursday, so tomorrow I start my job. So I will probably move this back to an earlier time. I'll make an announcement later on today, okay? So just bear with me on that, Brian. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.